Hello, hello, hello. Great day, everyone. We have another fantastic show in store for you today. So, did you know that you are not completely to blame for your resistance? You know, after all, our brains are playing a key role in this. By trying to protect us, our brains may be holding us in that dreaded comfort zone. But you know what? I don't want you to have any fear, because today on the show, we have Dr. Haley Nelson, and we're going to ask her about tapping into the neuroscience that can help us better manage our change and our resistance. So I'm ready to learn to lead above the grind. The question is, are you ready? If so, I'm going to say, let's go ahead and let's get started. Day, everyone. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Coffee with Rhonda show. We are your cup full of inspiration, revelation, and wit for today's savvy leader. We are on season 8, and this is episode 96. So thank you so much for tuning in and joining us. So as we get started today, there's a lot that we want to dive into. But first, you know the rules. There's a couple of things I need you to do. Number one, stop, like, share the video right now. Whether you're watching live or on the replay, I promise you there will be something in today's conversation that someone else will benefit from if you share it with them. If you have not already, you can like our YouTube channel. Go ahead and subscribe there. You can do that at coffeewithrhondashow.com, coffeewithrhondashow.com. All right, with all that stuff out the way and that being said, my name is Rhonda Y. Williams, and I'm your host for the show, and I'm what I like to call an RSOL, or a recovering stressed out leader. Feel free to join me on that journey. I'm happy to have you. I've got plenty of room on my bus. I really believe that today it's imperative that we modernize leadership to include a more holistic approach, ongoing growth and development, and creating cultures and environments that are healthy and sustainable for all of us. You can learn more about the work that I do at atgleadership.com. And today in my cup, I am using my boss lady cup because I'm feeling a little bit like a boss today. And in my cup, I just have regular coffee, but my creamer is Twix favorite. Go figure. I didn't even know there was Twix favorite creamer, but there is. So
the left Twix or the right Twix? That's the question though.
Oh yeah. How about that? Oh my goodness.
That's the new commercial. It's a left Twix or right Twix?
Right Twix. And so that's what's happening with me. And let's go ahead and get introduced. Hey, our super caffeinated co-host is joining us today, Ms. Roz Jones. Hello, hello.
Hey, you guys, how you doing? I'm Roz Jones. You guys know me by now, but I'll go ahead and introduce myself for those who, for some reason, don't know. I'm Roz Jones, the CEO and owner of Jacksonville's Best Caregivers, and we're located here in Jacksonville, Florida. And the reason I do what I do is to help the caregiver to reduce that SOS on their journey, which is being stressed, overwhelmed, and providing safety and security. When you can't do it all, you give us a call. And, oh, I have, look, okay. I'm not a spokesperson. However, I went to Dunkin' and I got a hibiscus tea.
Nice. Hibiscus tea from Dunkin'. All right, you're switching up the game today, Miss Ross.
But you know, we do accept sponsors, Dunkin'. We do accept sponsors.
We do. You know what? That would be great. I would love for Dunkin' Donuts to sponsor the Coffee with Rhonda show. And any other tea company or coffee company out there too. So thank you.
Send them the video.
free advertisement for Dunkin'. That's awesome. And so I'm super excited to welcome to the coffee table today our guest. I'm excited to have joining us Dr. Haley Nelson. Dr. Haley Nelson is a neuroscientist, a tenured psychology professor, an international speaker, and founder of the Academy of Cognitive and Behavioral Neuroscience, where she's passionate about making neuroscience approachable. Thank you so much for the work you do. Dr. Haley, tell us a little bit more about that work you do in the world, and then don't forget to tell us what you have in your cup.
I will. I'm actually going to start with what I have in my cup because it is about some of the work that I do in this world. So you probably can't read it, but it says, I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. All right. Yeah. So first and foremost, I am a cool mom. So on the outside of my cup, it is just putting out there in the world that I'm a good mom. Don't let my kids tell you otherwise. I do have two young boys. They're in third grade and kindergarten. So I have my hands full with that. But as you mentioned, I'm a neuroscientist. So I have my PhD in psychological and brain sciences, and my full-time job, besides being a mom and a wife, I also am a tenured psychology professor in the Philadelphia area. And I recently founded the Academy of Cognitive and Behavioral Neuroscience because I noticed over the past couple of years, primarily during COVID, while everybody was home, and people were on this app called Clubhouse, for anybody who's familiar with it, I just started hearing people talking and really going into mental health and mental wellness. And there's just been such an awareness around it. And there was just this separation between more spiritual and quote unquote woo-woo type philosophy, and then the hard science. And I was trained with Western medicine, so I definitely have the, you know, more hard science background. However, on my own personal health journey, I started embracing some of this quote unquote woo-woo. And I, for myself, created this bridge to be able to understand it better for myself. And so now I wanted to be able to educate others and to be able to be that connector and be that bridge to help people, primarily people who work with others, like life coaches and counselors and things like that, give them the neuroscience, give them that scientific background to really understand what is causing that resistance with their clients and how they can overcome different habits and things like that. That was what was on the outside, right? I'm a cool mom. Inside, I don't drink coffee. And people find that very shocking because I typically am a pretty like hyper type person. And they're like, you've got to be totally caffeinated. How did you get your graduate school and motherhood without drinking a single cup of coffee? But what I do, this is my special sauce, my secret drink. It's usually my afternoon pick me up, but I'm starting a little early today for you ladies. And it's my soda and coffee or tea replacement. And it's packed with B vitamins and chromium and taurine and CoQ10. And it tastes delicious. Today I'm drinking blood orange, but there's a bunch of different flavors like pineapple and peach. Good. They're called my energy fizz sticks. And they are amazing. They're little packets, so you can make them as strong or as weak as you want. And I cannot go a day without them. So they're my cool mom cup. And it helps make me alive, basically. It keeps me functional with all of the different hats that I wear. So cheers to my fizz sticks. Cheers, ladies.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Fizz sticks. So, Roz, have you heard of fizz sticks before?
Mm-mm. I was going to tell her after the show. She's going to send it to me.
I will. I'll send you a sample. Absolutely. You get to pick your flavor. I'll take some from my inventory and just send it off to you ladies. And if you like it, I'll hook you up.
That's awesome. 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 Thank you so much for that. There's a couple people out there. Janine, thank you so much, my friend, for tuning in. Greetings from beautiful Anguilla. I didn't mention this, but later this year in November, for any woman out there who feels like they are called to do something other than work themselves to the grind and to the bone, we are hosting a retreat in Anguilla, exclusive immersive retreat on the beautiful island of Anguilla. So if you want more information, you can send me a backdoor chat about that. So thank you so much for tuning in, Janine. If you have a cup and you're drinking something, don't forget to tell us what's in it. Favor is joining us also from Nigeria. Hey, Favor, great to see you. She said, super excited to be here. And Maria is here as well. Hi, Maria. Great to see you out there this morning. Maria is tuning in from the Netherlands, one of the places on my list to visit. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get started, and we're going to start with Dr. Haley's opening quote. So I ask all of our guests to share with us, what's a quote that resonates with you in the, about this conversation that we're having today? So we'll start with that. We'll share the quote. I'll mute and read it out, and then we'll ask Dr. Haley to share with us why this quote. Says we are what we repeatedly do. Excellent. It's not an act, but a habit. I absolutely love this quote by Aristotle. But tell us, Dr. Haley, why this quote and why this really speaks to you and speaks to this conversation that we're getting ready to have.
Absolutely. So I'm a neuroscientist, and when you think about neuroscience, it's a relatively newer field, right? So it's very integrated. It combines elements of biology and physics and chemistry and psychology, all of these different fields. And even though it's a newer field, some of the concepts and some of the topics that we cover as neuroscientists have been discussed forever, right? So here's a quote from Aristotle from way back when, right? Talking about how we can change our behaviors, how we can change our thoughts. And that is a really big thing that I do with my clients and through with my students is really focusing on what's the neuroscience, what's happening in the brain to instantiate these changes. Because there is, you know, we can talk about the brain, the physical structure, but we can also talk about the mind and the behaviors and the thoughts that you can't necessarily observe, you know, and quantify as easily as looking at, oh, this electrical activity in the brain or this, you know, these changes are happening, but we can see it. And we can see how the brain influences our mind and also how our mind can influence and change our brain and then be able to harness that power and use it together. So a lot of what we do and what I'm sure we're going to talk about is how we have to repeat actions and thoughts and feelings and emotions in order for it to actually make change, both physically in the brain, but then also with our behaviors and our thoughts. The more we do things, the more we repeat different thoughts or actions or affirmations, then they get stuck, right? And so usually those, when we are trying to take control of it, usually we're trying to make better habits, but you can also think about some of the things that you don't want in your life. And a lot of that is because you continue to repeat it. You continue that negative self-talk, you continue those bad behaviors and reaching for the sugar or reaching for that cigarette or whatever it is to cope with your stress or something like that. You keep repeating it, that connection becomes stronger and then it makes it harder to change. So knowing that that repetition is key, then we can make changes.
Oh man, there's so much I want to dive into there a little bit. So let me back up first. Dr. Pat Baxter. Hey, Dr. Pat, great to see you. Thank you so much for joining us. She says, hello, looking forward to this. And then Maria asks the question, not to digress, but do you plan your retreats? Yes, my partner, Carla, and I are planning the retreat in Anguilla. So that's the answer to that question. So Dr. Haley, I want to know, so what really is a habit? Is it just the act of doing something over and over? Does it get hardwired in our brains? And why are they so darn hard to stop?
Hard to change. Yeah. So yes, they do get hardwired into our brain because the way that our nervous system is set up is to make things simple for us and automate. Because our nervous system really cares about changes in our environment. If you think back to caveman times, right? They don't care if the temperature outside is the exact same, but what it cares about, what we would care about for our safety is if all of a sudden a cold breeze comes in or if it starts raining, that's a change in our environment. So our nervous system is really primed to notice changes, especially negative changes in our environment, which we can talk about later. But not the regular every day, because we want to automate it. We don't want to have to think about every single day how we're going to do the same thing every single day, because that takes a lot of energy and a lot of time. So we automate the process, and our nervous system likes to flow along the path of least resistance, right? So you can kind of picture it like a stream going down a mountain. It's going to just go along the path of least resistance. It's not going to go uphill. It's not going to try to cut through rocks or in, you know, in trees. It's going to go around all of those obstacles, and it's just going to smooth and just go along the same path that it's always done. And that's what our nervous system does. And so through repetition, we're carving out those structures in the mountain to allow the stream to just go along that exact same path. But what if you want to try to change that path? Let's say you want to go up the mountain, right? That's a huge change. You're working against gravity. You're working against all of those obstacles in the way, and the nervous system is going to give you resistance. So that's why when you're trying to change your habits, you're working against your nervous system that has been set up to automate all of these behaviors and thoughts and actions to allow you to survive, right? But we don't necessarily want to just survive. Sometimes we actually want to thrive, right? And so you have to push yourself to get over those that resistance to be able to achieve those goals and create new habits. But you can do it. If the nervous system can change and those connections can change to allow that path to go, the stream to go down the hill, you can create a way to get the water going up the hill, right? The mountain. But it takes effort. It takes planning and repetition to be able to carve out that space to create those new connections, but it absolutely can be done. And that's called neuroplasticity, by the way. So, because our brains are very plastic and moldable, they can change. But hardwired, absolutely. They are all of these habits, all of these thoughts, these actions, these behaviors and emotions that are automatic because we've done them over and over again, whether consciously or subconsciously, right? And so our nervous system has been created to optimize it. So every single time that stimulus comes into our environment, we're going to have that exact same response. And so if you want to change that response, that's when you have to put in that hard work and that effort.
Wow. So I think that's really powerful. So we're doing it over and over and we are creating the path.
Yes.
Right. We are establishing that. So then if you decide you don't want to do it, the brain is like, no, 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 wait, we do it this way. I know how to do this. Don't tell me how to do it because we've been doing it for years.
And we've survived up till this point.
Absolutely.
Right. And so the brain is like, no, you're alive. You're good. I'm going to keep doing what I've always done.
Right. Is that where we say that when you begin to change that course and that path, it gets really uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
So I like to distinguish. I read this on social media the other day and I had to sit on my hands so that I didn't respond and completely contradict the author of this post. But they were talking about change being painful. And I say change is uncomfortable, but pain is different, right? I mean, real pain, I'm kind of like, I don't know about pain. Uncomfortable, I'm okay with. And is that why we experience the discomfort that we do when we start to try to go a different direction?
Yes. And for some people, that change can be painful. Right. And it just depends on how you define pain. Are we talking about emotional pain? Are we talking about physical pain? And the thing is, our brain can't distinguish between emotional pain and physical pain. So it still sends the same chemical signals, whether you break your leg or your boyfriend breaks up with you. Right. It's still painful either way. And it's going to try to protect you. It's going to actually release opiates to try to numb that pain. So sometimes people can actually become addicted to that pain. But anyway, so that digresses a little. However, I do like this comment that it's more of the discomfort. And you can think of it as it's called cognitive dissonance when you're talking about that icky feeling, right? Let's say you walk into a room and somebody asks a question that you're confident you know the answer to, like 5 + 5, you know it's 10. But let's say you walk into the room and everybody in the room says it's 11. You're going to second guess yourself, right? Especially if those other people in the room have white lab coats on or they're really, you know, three under their name, right? You're going to look at them like they know what they're talking about. Maybe they don't, right? And so you're going to get that little kind of icky feeling in your gut. And that's known as dissonance. So cognitive dissonance in that way. And so we have that uncomfortable feeling all the time and you have to kind of trust your gut reaction, right? But when you're trying to make that change, you have that dissonance everywhere. It's not just on how we think, it's on how we act, it's on how we feel, it's on how everything is going to start feeling different and it's uncomfortable, right? And you don't necessarily want that, but you do have to push through it in order for change to happen. And that's why there's a lot of, you know, people relapse or there's a lot of recidivism. They don't want, it's so uncomfortable that it's easier to just go back and do what they've always done because it is easier, right? But in the long run, it might be better to make some of those changes. So
one of the things I've been, oh my gosh, one of the things I've been talking about and focusing on lately is we say all the time, things are so hard. It's so hard. And I've been saying, and I don't know, I might be wrong about this, but I've been saying that it's only hard because of one of two reasons. You either one, don't know how to do it, or number two, you don't want to do it, mm-hmm. right? It feels uncomfortable to do it because rocket science is not hard to a rocket scientist, right? He knows how to do it. It's super tough for me. Like, don't ask me to do any rocket science work. I have no idea. That's hard for me, but I also don't know how to do it. And so when I am coaching people towards change, I'm constantly talking about really getting clear on what we're actually speaking about. Are you speaking about that it's really physically hard and challenging? Because when it comes to the mental aspect, I just go to two places. You either don't know how, or you don't really want to, and there's a bit of resistance there. Do you think that that's accurate?
I do. And I think another piece to that about wanting, sometimes people don't realize that they want something, but then you have to kind of give them a little push to realize that they really do. And a lot of that push is if you ask people why. You really have to be crystal clear on why you want something, not just that you want it, but understanding the real true root reason to why and tie an emotion to that, right? Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about neuroplasticity and change, one thing you need is repetition. Another thing that can really facilitate neuroplasticity and the actual physical changes in your brain is tying an emotion to it, because emotion is something that has been conserved through hundreds of millions of years through evolution. It is essential for our survival. So that's something that our nervous system is going to notice more if there's an emotion tied to it. So if you, let's say you want to lose weight or you want to start exercising more and you're just like, oh, the reason why is because I want to look good in a bikini this summer, right? Sure, that's a reason why, but to really make it stick, think about what that's going to feel like when you're not grunting getting off the couch, or you're able to walk your daughter down the aisle when it's time to get married, or be there at their high school graduation and be comfortable walking through Disney World, whatever it is, right? And that emotion, how it's going to feel to have your child look up at you with a big smile and you're able to be there with them, right? That's tying an emotion to it. And that's going to make it that much more impactful, and constantly reminding yourself of that root reason why with that emotion is really going to help you repeat that behavior, even though it might be hard and even though there might be resistance. And because of those two things tied together, then you're going to facilitate neuroplasticity even easier. So having that, and then another thing is doing things that are novel. So new things. So even if you just tie in something like brushing your teeth with your left hand, or writing your journal with your non-dominant hand, or kicking the soccer ball with your non-dominant foot, whatever, something different in your environment, your nervous system, again, is going to light up and say, whoa, things are different here. Right? I'm used to brushing my teeth with my right hand. Why are we doing something on the left? What's happening on the right side of my body? And you're going to start noticing things in your environment that have always been there, but you might not have been so in tune to it. Mm-hmm. And that creates more of these, what are called synapses and connections between the cells in our brain, and also really fosters that neuroplasticity to create that change that we all want.
Man, I love that. Roz, can you think of a change that was difficult, sort of uncomfortable for you, and then sort of over time you got better and better at it?
Well, she talked about exercise. And so, you know, my brain says, do it. And I did it. But then something happened, Dr. Haley. I don't know what happened. You know, then I kind of fell off the wagon. Mm-hmm. And so what do I need to do with this brain, even though my body knows I'm supposed to do it? My thighs know I'm supposed to do it. My stomach knows I'm supposed to do it. But the body is just not willing. Help me, Dr. Haley.
I don't think it's the body's not willing. I think it's your mind that's not willing. Your body wants to do it, right? Your body knows what it needs to do. You're preventing your body from doing what you know it needs to do. So there's something in your mind that's preventing you from doing it. Right? So it is easier to lay on the couch and binge watch Netflix. Trust me, I would much rather be doing that as well. Right? So it's sometimes I think the key for you may be, right? Because you mentioned, oh, my thighs know I need to do it. Let's get deeper there. Right? Are you trying to exercise just so you have skinnier thighs? No, I'm sure there's more. Okay, maybe that is something that's driving it. But maybe think about your heart health. Think about some of the, you want to be around longer for whoever in your life, right? And really get that emotion, understand, and that takes a deep dive. And sometimes you might need some coaching or some counseling or somebody, a pastor, anybody, to kind of bounce ideas off to really get to that root cause of why you want to start exercising. And then once you have that why, keep repeating it to yourself. Keep reminding yourself of it during those times where you're like, oh, I don't want to put a sports bra on today, right? It digs into my shoulders or whatever it is. I don't feel like sweating. It's already hot enough down here in Florida. I don't need to sweat on top of it, right? And then you say, oh, but how good is it going to feel when I get that smile from my kid or I get that job well done, or my back doesn't hurt anymore from bending over or standing all day, right? And caring. I don't want to be like some of your clients, right? Who are probably younger than they should be and their bodies have failed them, right? So you have a constant reminder every single day of what maybe you don't want to be like at a certain age. So keep that going. And then sometimes you just have to grin and bear it and just do it. The more you do it, the easier it's going to become. Right. And so there's that say, it's like, fake it till you make it. Right. And so it's kind of one of those things. You just, maybe you're not a super athlete right now, but you're going to pretend that you are and you're just going to start doing it and you create that habit. And then over time, that just becomes your new norm. So sometimes you just have to overpower that resistance that you're going to have. And but sometimes it could be something really deep. It could be something in your childhood, something that happened that is just preventing you from doing those things, that really getting to that root cause can be quite eye-opening and be a huge lift off your shoulders to help get you to that place.
I love that. That's pretty awesome. Yeah,
because I'm tired of my thighs sounding like a fart.
Me too. Not your thighs. I'm tired of my thighs. I haven't seen your thighs yet. I'm sure they're fabulous.
Thank you, Dr. Haley.
You know, it's interesting because, and if you're out there and you have something that you're resisting and you're trying to overcome, feel free to ask a question or, you know, sort of get some dialogue going. I know for me, it really is hard when I am stepping outside of that zone, right? When I am saying that I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. The biggest one for me that always comes to mind is I could not speak in public. Mm. I could not speak in public without my heart racing, my breathing increasing, my voice would shake. I couldn't even do it on a conference call, Dr. Haley. It was so bad. It was so bad when I was the chief nursing officer.
That surprises me because you're fabulous at it now.
Oh my gosh. You know what? What happened? Repetition, right? Mm-hmm. Practice and continuing to push past it. I was on a conference call one time and I was giving the budget. We were going over the budget with our nursing labor and all of our regional leaders were on the call. And everyone went around the room and shared their, well, nursing is the biggest department in any hospital. So when it came time for me to go over my budget and my labor, my voice started shaking and I thought I was hiding it pretty well. And afterwards, my boss said, do you know your voice is shaking? I was mortified. I was like, oh my gosh, everybody noticed? That is awful. I'm like, Rhonda, you've got to get this together, right? And so I had to do a little work. I had to do a little bit of inner work to figure out what was driving all of that, to the fact that I couldn't even speak on the call without being so nervous, right? And then over time, even today, if I raise my hand in the conference, my heart rate will pick up. But I've done it so much now that it's just something that I can get past. Mm-hmm. But it's really interesting how the more we do it, I love the opening quote, right? Excellence, therefore, is not an act, but a habit. Repeat, 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 rinse, repeat, 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 and keep doing it until we can really show up in excellence or do that thing in excellence for us. So, man, this is good stuff because
there are little tricks and tips to make that resistance less, right? So it doesn't have to be so hard. It certainly doesn't have to be painful, like that person that you said was mentioning on social media. It doesn't have to be painful. It's still going to be uncomfortable, but it doesn't have to be painful. It doesn't have to have that much resistance. And finding tricks that work for you. I'm sure for public speaking, part of that was the mindset work and breathing exercises and really grounding yourself and visualizing. I'm sure there was lots of practice that you did not in front of an audience, right? Yeah. And so that preparation, we all need to do that on a daily basis. Whatever that resistance that you're feeling, whether it's for working out or public speaking or asking for that promotion at work, whatever it is, what's holding you back, and practice it. Do that repetition, because then when you actually do it, the real thing, you've already done it 100 times. You've already been there. You've already figured out all the possible scenarios. And what's the worst that's going to happen? It's always going to be a no if you never ask. That's true. So you just have to put yourself out there. Life is short. And a lot of that is mindset work. And that doesn't come naturally for a lot of people to have that perspective. And so that's where people like coaches and therapists and pastors or whoever it is in your life that can be that sounding board for you can give you that different perspective and help you work on that so that the repetition are filled with positive thoughts instead of those fearful thoughts.
I love that. You know, Dr. Pat said, hooray for our emotions. I'm with you, Dr. Pat. I've learned to lean into my emotions and really use them as a source of information, which they are, right? Mm-hmm. And not just these pesky little things that are just bothering me all the time. So she also says the drive for being perfect drives a lot of our difficulties, such as public speaking, I believe. I think you're right, Dr. Pat, because in my deeper work and my inner work, what I realized is I was afraid I would say something wrong, right? And what would everyone think of me if I said something wrong? And I had to deal with that, right? I had to get over that. And I did that in two ways. Number one, I made sure that I knew what I was talking about. I knew the numbers, where they were coming from. I knew the detail, but I also had to do work on, so what? If I get it wrong, I get it wrong and I'll get corrected and get it right the next time, right? So I had to do work on both sides of the issue there for me to really show up in that space. So I love that. Let's go and do a quick break, and then we're going to come back. And Dr. Haley, when we come back, I want you to talk to us about, is it the mind-body connection?
Yes, there is a mind-body connection. Right? So the mind-body, we can talk about that.
The brain-body-mind connection.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so we're going to come back, and we're going to do that after we take a quick break with our Cara Chronicles.
Hi, usually when we think of caregiving, we're taking care of our mother and father or our husband and wife. But what about when that husband and wife is an ex-husband and wife and they ask you to take care of them? Can you do it? Well, here are a couple of things that you may need to consider before you take care of your ex. Do you still have warm and fuzzy feelings for them? Or do you have some unresolved issues? Well, you need to talk about both of those. And if it's a concern, it may not be the route you need to go. Next, if you do decide to do it, you need to set boundaries. Number three, you need to communicate and understand what the expectations are of this caregiving journey. Deal with other people's opinion. That's going to be the big thing. Oh my God, you taking care of your ex, honey? I wouldn't do it, blah, blah, blah. You got to deal with not only other people's opinion, but the family's opinion. And then also to realize as a caregiver, if you're caregiving to your ex-spouse, you do not have the authority to make medical decisions. So those are some things you're going to have to talk about when you take care of your ex-spouse.
Whew, talk about resistance. Talk about resistance when it comes to caring for your ex. And you know what? The judgy people out there, oh my goodness. Oh, I can't even tell you. I get this now all the time. So my ex and I, Roz, I love this so much because talking about exes in the context of real life and positive, you know, ways that we can coexist. My ex and I are really good friends. And I still get all the looks like, are you sure that's a good idea? Well, you know, what does his wife think? Well, what does your man think? Well, are you going to get back together? I'm like, stop. Stop. We're friends. It's okay. It really is okay. But boy, silence and the judgy people.
Haters are going to hate.
That's it.
Haters
are Everybody hate. Has an opinion.
Mm-hmm. Everybody has an opinion. And you know what they say about those. I won't say it. But all right. So Dr. So, Dr. Haley, talk to us a little bit about, because I think so often we approach these situations of being stuck or resistant from one space or another. We either are like, well, it's in the brain, or, you know, or it's just move, it's in the body, right? And so you say that there's a connection there. Talk to us about that.
Absolutely. So a lot of times people, let's talk about psychotherapy, right? Going to a clinical therapist or a counselor to work on your thoughts and behaviors. A lot of people are like, I don't need to talk. I just need to do. I just need to change what my body is doing. It doesn't matter what's going on in my head. And that's absolutely false, because we do both, right? Changing our thoughts can in turn change our brain, and our brain controls everything from our heart rate to our breathing to our sleep-wake cycle to our hormone release. It literally controls everything. The way that we see, the way that we hear, the way that we feel, everything, right? So if we can actually fix that organ, right? So our brain is the organ, just like our liver is an organ and our stomach is an organ. You have stomach pains, you change your diet, right? You have brain pains or emotional changes or habits or resistance or whatever, then you have to change your brain. And so one way that we can do that, you don't want to go in and have brain surgery, right? We wouldn't even be able to do that. But what we can do is change the way that we think, change the way that we process the information that is coming in. So everything in life flows through this psychological filter, right? So let's say let's take this example that Roz just gave with having to care for your ex. That's a big stressor, right? Caring for anybody is a big stressor, but especially if it's somebody that you have some kind of an emotional relationship with, good or bad or ugly, right? Either way, it's an important relationship in your life. So that's a big stressor. And you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it like probably most people would and say, oh my gosh, I can't do this. I can't handle this. I don't want to deal with him. I divorced him for a reason, right? All of that. And it becomes overwhelming. Versus people like Rhonda, and you said you're good friends with your ex. I'm sure if he reached out and said, hey, I need help with X, Y, and Z, or I'm getting this surgery and I don't have anybody to care for me, you would look at it as, okay, this is a challenge. I got to coordinate my schedule. I need to make sure that I'm not stepping on anyone's toes, right? But you're looking at it as a challenge, not as a threat. And it's that mindset, that change, the exact same stressor for whether it's me or Roz or Rhonda or Joe Schmo, whoever it is, it could be the exact same stressor in the environment, but how you view it, what is that perception that you're putting on it? Is it a threat or is it a challenge? If it's a challenge, you're going to stimulate parts of your brain that are going to allow you to think clearly, to process the information, to gather all your resources, and you're going to be really aroused and focused to be able to problem solve to the best of your ability. Versus if you view it as a threat, well, our nervous system is set up to protect us from threats, right? And it's going to automatically, without our conscious awareness, it's just going to kick in our stress response, our fight or flight response, right? It's going to activate our sympathetic nervous system. Your heart rate's going to start going. Your breathing's going to change. Your immune system is going to decrease. You go into this stress reaction, because that now you're not looking at it as a challenge. You're looking at it as a threat to your life. And the only difference between those two things is how we processed it, how we thought about it initially. So we are all in control of all of these negative things in our environment, right? We can't control stressors in our environment. They're going to happen. But what we can control or learn to control is how we process it, how we evaluate it, how we appraise those stressors in our environment. And that is going to trigger all of these changes in our body. Right? If we're aroused and focused, we're going to have all of these feel good hormones and neurotransmitters keeping us focused. If we activate the stress response, we're going to have stress hormones activated. We're going to end up with a release of cortisol, which is going to wreak havoc on our body, right? It's going to change our gut health. It's going to change everything. If we have too much cortisol, it's going to change. It's not good to have all that inflammation, right? And so that is a great example of how the mind can control the body. But another thing is it goes both ways. So now our body can actually change our mind. So Rhonda, you were talking about how you were having issues with public speaking, which by the way, is one of the biggest fears, right? Of everybody. That's the number one most popular fear that people have. And so one thing that you can do is that Superman pose. I'm sure you've probably heard that. That's been going around on, you know, TED Talks and all of these different stages. But what you're doing is you're actually putting your body into a particular pose of Superman, of Superwoman, of whatever it is that you admire. Some people are saying, oh, I want to be Harry Potter, right? I'm going to pretend that I have that invisibility cloak on or something like that. You pick whoever it is that has that power that you want to emulate, that you want to have. And you physically move your body in that position, and you can actually see a decrease in cortisol and an increase in testosterone, which gives you that actual power that you want, right? And so it helps calm down your nervous system to actually allow you to focus and be that way. So, and there's also what's known as facial feedback effect, which I always tell my students, it's like, even if you're having a really lousy day, just put a smile on your face. Because there's lots of research out there that actually engaging those muscles in a smile not only makes you feel better, but it's going to make other people who see you feel better. And they're going to respond and react to you in that way as well. And it just makes everybody happier, right? So just put that smile on your face. But your body can in turn change how you think and change how you feel. So it goes both ways. And so it's something that I think a lot of people, when they, especially if you're dealing with mental health concerns like depression or anxiety, where it can be, feel so overwhelming. And trust me, I've been there, right? It is extremely overwhelming. But through work, through repetition, by creating that neuroplasticity, you can actually take charge of how your brain is functioning, which in turn is going to change how your thoughts are functioning and how your body is functioning. And over time, it can really, really make a significant change, and you will feel so much better. And then we can thrive instead of just survive.
No, I love that. That's pretty, it's really powerful. Just by posing or taking on making a certain facial expression, that we can really change the dynamic that we have, the energy around it. And that's very powerful. When we were talking about taking care of exes, Dr. Pat said, it's also difficult for estranged parents, right? Who may be at a time in their life where all of a sudden they need care and they haven't, or you haven't been quite as involved. And she says, I know. Yeah, it's all of these things that we go through and that we deal with that can show up for us. And so as I think about this neuroplasticity, I want you to talk a little bit more about this, because it actually changes the structure of the brain. Is that right? And so talk a little bit about really what neuroplasticity is and why it really matters for those of us, particularly living in today's world. And most of the work I do is with leaders who are working in very dynamic, demanding, high pressure environments. And things today are not what they were 5 years ago, 3 years ago even. Right. And so, but we have a tendency to want to stay focused and do what's worked for us in the past, right? That's that the brain trying to automate everything. Talk to us about why we need to understand neuroplasticity and embrace that a little bit more.
Yeah. So what neuroplasticity means, I feel like a lot of times scientists, like neuroscientists, we try to scare people with terminology like neuroplasticity or neurogenesis and all of it, synaptogenesis, all of these fancy terms, but we're not creative. Really what neuroplasticity is saying is we have these neurons, which are the cells that make up our nervous system, right? So our brain, for example, is part of our nervous system. There's upwards of 100 billion cells. It's like 80 to 100 billion cells, which is a lot, right? But each one of those cells, each one of those neurons has 10,000 connections to other cells, right? Some are neurons, some are organs, right? So it's an infinite number of possibilities. So when we're born, some of those connections are already established, right? Some of them are just innate behaviors that we have. And, but then like reflexes, for example. But we learn through experience. So all of these high leaders, we all started at the same place. We all learned how to potty train the same way. We all learned that you put your pants one leg on at a time, right? And things like that. So we all had to learn to get to where we are. So you've created these habits over time. And so you found a way, you found your your area of genius, your zone of genius that allows you to excel in whatever area of your life that you want to do. But now you want to change, right? So as we've been talking about today. So our nervous system has been plastic. It's created, it's been moldable throughout your life through experience to get you to where you are, to have that automated process. Now, while it's been plastic to get you there, now you want to make that change. So neuroplasticity, the beauty of it is we have those 10,000 connections. Now, most of them do prune off. You lose a lot of those possibilities just because it's a use it or lose it phenomenon, right? So if you're not using some of those potential connections, they're going to eventually go away. So that's why that novelty that I was explaining before, now all of a sudden you're challenging your nervous system, and it's going to start creating these new connections that might have been dormant for a really long time. And so through neuroplasticity, you can create these new connections. Mm-hmm. And the connections are between one neuron to another, for example, that might not have been there before. And now you're generating it. And the more you repeat it, the stronger those connections are going to become. So your brain is very plastic. It's very moldable, and some more than others, right? Especially different ages. It can, children have a lot more neuroplasticity than adults do. So that old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. There's an element of truth to it, right? But you can teach it, just takes a little longer and a little bit more effort. But the brain can change. So you can create those new habits, those new thoughts, those new patterns of behaviors and emotions and all of that through neuroplasticity. And I mentioned repetition, I mentioned novelty, and I mentioned emotions. Another key thing that, Roz, you're probably going to hate this when I say it, is that if you can incorporate aerobic exercise into your day, it actually can help facilitate more neuroplasticity, whether it's because you're trying to lose that weight or get rid of that, I call it my the chub rub, right? So it's like when your thighs rub together, I call it chub rub. But either way, if you're trying to get rid of that, it doesn't matter if you're trying to lose weight or not, but if you can incorporate exercise into your day, what happens is when you're exercising, there's this chemical known as BDNF, which stands for brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And I know it's a mouthful, again, not trying to intimidate people, but just know that this chemical is released, and this chemical actually helps facilitate neuroplasticity. So whatever that change is that you're trying to make, help yourself with it by just getting some exercise in your day, right? So if you can, as much as you can, right? So I would say do what you can, but you know, at least 3 days a week, 30 minutes at a time, if you can get some aerobic activity, get that heart rate going. We've seen depression rates decrease, anxiety rates decrease. The you can actually see new cell growth, especially in the hippocampus, which is our learning and memory center, which is essential for these changes that we're trying to make by just incorporating aerobic activity into our day. So go for a walk. Use this as motivation. You know, for many of us, it might be approaching lunchtime. Get outside, get some fresh air, get some vitamin D, and, you know, get that exercise. You're actually helping your brain. You're not just helping your thighs, you're helping your brain, which in turn is going to help your mood, your mind, and everything else in your life.
No. Dr. Haley, you said we have 10,000 connections.
With each one of those cells. So there's 80 billion, and that's on the low end, 80 billion neurons, and each one of those has 10,000 connections. So we're talking about an infinite number of possibilities. So some people look up in the stars and they mm-hmm. think of how insignificant we are, right? You think, you know, mm-hmm. grain of rice has how many stars and galaxies or whatever it is, right? We have our own universe in between our two ears. In 3 pounds of matter, there's an infinite number of connections and possibilities. This is how genetically identical twins who have the exact same DNA can behave and respond completely different to the same stimuli because they've had different experiences throughout their life. They've created these new connections differently. And so that's how the power of the brain, it's so powerful. And I think people are intimidated by it, right? You were talking about rocket scientists, that it's from the outsider, it seems so challenging, but neuroscience doesn't have to be that challenging. And that's really my passion and my purpose, whether it's at the college or through my academy, is to make it approachable for people because it really can impact so much change in your life by not fearing the unknown, but embracing it. And really allowing yourself to say, okay, my brain can change. It's going to be hard, but I can do it. And here's some tips and strategies to get me there.
Wow.
So how can I reconnect to some of this so I can be smart like you, Dr. Haley.
Practice makes perfect. You got to just start reading. And who says you're not smart, right? I mean, some people, they might not be academically book smart, but I bet you can care for somebody you're empathetically smarter than me. I wouldn't be able to do what you do, right? And so when somebody, that term smart, throw that out the window, right? That's just society's judgment. The haters are going to hate, right? Yeah. And so just embrace what you're good at. And if you want to try something new, then just try it. It's not too late. You want to learn something new, then take a course. You can take my course if you want, right? And I'm not trying to do self-promotion here, but learn something, challenge yourself. Right. The more you work your brain, the better it's going to function. Right? Try something new. Challenge it on a daily basis. Do those Wordles. Play Scrabble with your friends. Do something like that. Really challenge yourself. Pick up a book. Try a new course. Learn a new trade. Right? You've always wanted to learn how to crochet? Then take a class on crocheting and figure out how to do it. You're challenging your brain on a daily basis. And you're going to see that you're going to have more energy, more focus, and everything else that you do.
Wow. So Andy, hey Andy, great to see you again. He said, great information. It's very hard and technical. I don't think I can do it. Well, yes, I guess I was going to say, if you don't think you can, then you probably can't, right? What's the saying? Whether you think you can or can't, then you're right in both. But that's not actually accurate, Andy. You can do it. So you just have to have a desire to do it. Like, I want to learn Spanish. I do. I want to do that. And someone gave me a great suggestion the other day. They're like, so I tried all the little apps, right, that says, you know, say more here and all of this. And it's like one word. I'm like, okay, I don't really feel like I'm learning the language to speak it. And someone said, Rhonda, get a Spanish tutor. And I'm like, oh, you know what? Somebody that I can work with a couple days a week. We just hop on. We speak. I think I'm actually going to do that because I really want to learn it. And I think I can. I can do it. Right? So
don't just think it. Know it.
Know it.
Feel it. Oh, yeah. That you can do it, right? And another thing to help yourself, immerse yourself in Spanish culture, right? You're in Texas. That's easy for you, right? Just go over to a community where there's a lot of Mexican activities, or go to Mexico. You're right there. And embrace, surround yourself in the community and where you're only hearing Spanish. And even if you have no idea what people are saying, you're going to start noticing things, different dialects, different accents. It's going to be a lot easier. If you want to learn a foreign language, go live in that country and you're going to learn that language a heck of a lot faster than sitting at home in your office with Rosetta Stone or whatever it is. And I'm not trying to bash Rosetta Stone. That's fantastic. It works for a lot of people. But if you want to optimize it, you surround yourself in that. So for Andy, who is saying this is too technical and hard, jump in, surround yourself with people who are speaking this way. And over time, the more you hear these words and these terms, they're not going to seem that technical. And you're going to realize it's actually very not creative, right? Neuroplasticity, you have a plastic neurons, right? That's really what it is. And so once you learn some of the fundamentals, which I love teaching, and being able to get that language and get that language barrier, then it becomes really kind of just like intuitive and it makes sense.
That's awesome. So Andy said, Andy, you are really helping me with this. So he said, I'm learning Spanish now. It's difficult, but possible. And I have a Spanish tutor. That's exactly what I need to do, Andy. So I need to stop talking about it. And I need to just go hire this person who's going to help me do the thing that I really want to do. And I actually have been spending quite a bit of time in Colombia. And so I have an opportunity to listen, right? And to immerse myself at times in this language. So, all right, let's do something fun. Let's do a quick break. We're going to do our top two. So we're going to come back. And I think today, let's do a top two question. Our top two question today is, where are two places you would love to live, right? If you had your pick, you could live anywhere in the world. What two places do you think you'd love to live? There's no real science behind this one, guys. This is just fun. And so we can do it. Oh, and Dr. Pat says, habla español. look, Dr. Pat, you can probably teach me too, right? So you guys are really helping me with this. I am going to do it. And I am supposed to be speaking in Colombia in September. So I would like to be a little bit better before I go there in September. Yeah, it's a good way to go. Okay, so when we come back, we're going to do our top two places. You guys out there in the audience, what are the top two places you like? Okay. All right, so the top two places you like to live. Dr. Haley, let's start with you. What comes to mind for you?
I mean, it's so cheesy, but in my mind, I'm thinking as long as my family's with me, it doesn't matter where I am. But that being said, I don't want to be somewhere too cold, but I actually prefer cold over heat. Oh. I spent some time in Germany in high school and I loved it over there. So I'd love to go back to Germany or a German speaking country, like, you know, in Switzerland or Austria or something like that. But I really like Southern German culture and cuisine, and I'd love to bring my family there, and that would be fun. That's one of them.
Okay, that's awesome. Very cool. All right, Roz, what you got?
My top two places would be Brazil and Nova Scotia.
Ooh, very different.
Yeah. Huh. That's very cool. I think my top two places are Barcelona. I've heard so many just wonderful things about it. And then the second one is hard, but I'd kind of like to live for a little while in Switzerland.
Mm, it's beautiful. You should.
Yeah.
We'll visit each other while we're living there.
Yeah, how about that? We can go together.
Yeah. I've also never been to Australia, and I would love to go to Australia. So
our co-host, Marae, who's not with us today, by the way, and we miss her. Hope you're getting better, Marae. She lives in Australia.
Yeah. I'll have to visit her when I get over there.
Yes. Yes, you have a built-in buddy there. So yes. Dr. Pat says south of France and Scotland. Mm-hmm. Oh, those would be very cool places to live. And then Andy said, I like to live in New York and Spain. Oh, that would be fun. Andy, I'll meet you in Spain. How about that? And Andy said, St. Andrew Jazz Band is in Barcelona. Mm-hmm. Very nice. All right. So we've got
so many beautiful places around this world, and I love traveling. I want to instill that in my kids to get that, to really immerse yourself and to pick up other people's culture. It just gives you a better appreciation for different people's backgrounds. And I think it gives people, you know, that sense of acceptance as well, that, you know, in this world, I think we need more of that. So I think traveling is so wonderful. And if you can do it, do it. And yeah. And if you can watch lots of movies and documentaries, so you can learn about other cultures and things like that. But I think it's
It's really helped me, Dr. Haley. It's really helped me begin to release a bit of judgment and just thinking about the way things are here and how they should be. Mm-hmm. When I started to visit places like Saudi Arabia and Dubai, and, you know, I've been to Ecuador, and it's so amazing to me to just be able to experience other cultures. Yeah. And just embrace the people and the food and all of that. And they have some really amazing shopping in these other places too. I just want to say that. So let's do our coffee shot. I can't believe our time is up already. Let's do our coffee shot and then do our wrap up. So all right, got it. Thank you kindly. And so we are going to do our What's in Your Cup segment. And What's in Your Cup is about what did we pour into you today through this conversation. And so we'll come back and do that wrap up, Dr. Haley. When we get to you, we're going to ask you to share any final thoughts on the topic. And then also share, I know you have a free gift that you wanted to share, and also share how people can connect with you and learn more about this work, this amazing work that you're doing. So we'll do all of that right after this. Huh. Okay, so Miss Roz Jones, what did we put in your cup today?
We put in my cup that I have what I need because of these resources, these 10,000 little nuggets, I'm going to call them for lack of the right terminology. But, you know, they always say, you know, you have what you need already in your hand. We have already what we need in our brain. It's just, it's lying dormant and we have to wake it up. So that's what I've learned to wake up the brain.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I think for me, one of the things in my cup, Dr. Haley, from listening to you speak today is I love the analogy of water flowing down a mountain, right? Mm. It's going to follow the path of least resistance. That's part of why I started this show with, you know, some of that resistance and it's not your fault, right? Our brain is trying to do what it does and be efficient. But we can absolutely decide that we want to be better, do better, show up better, have something better. We can do that. We just have to make those decisions. So that's some of what I took away today. So Dr. Haley, tell us a little bit about a final thought on what you want people to walk away with and then your free gift and how people can connect with you.
Great. Thank you. I think you guys got what my message was trying to be, was that we can change, right? We don't, especially for those listeners out there who might be feeling defeated or deflated and that, you know, you don't have this. I love the sign behind you, Rhonda. We've got this. You do have this. And you have the power within yourself to make that change. And asking for help and support is not a sign of weakness, right? So just because we have the ability to make this change doesn't mean it's going to come easy. And so asking for that added support and that knowledge can be so powerful and you can get there. So keep chugging along, know that you are worth it, know that you can handle it, and you can get there, whether it's learning Spanish, losing that weight in your thighs, or making major life changes. We are all capable of doing it, and understanding the brain can get you there. So a freebie for me, who in here has stress in their life? Right? So we all do. I'm sure everybody who's listening and watching, they're all raising their hands too. We all have stress in our life. And so to understand what's actually happening in the brain, I recently did a webinar. I was invited to do a webinar with a wonderful group of ladies and I recorded it. And so I'm actually offering that to your listeners. You can access it by going to my website, so which is academyofneuro.com and then /stress. That's it, right? So just add stress at the end. And there's a little sign up. You can get a free, it's about an hour long actual webinar. We go through the science. I put slideshow up there for everybody. And it's not readily available on my website. It's just for your listeners. So it's that /stress. I'll probably add a little link for the time being to make it easier for people to find. And I also have a free resource on my website called the ABCs of Commonly Abused Drugs. And drug addiction is something that I'm near and dear to my heart. And I love educating people about it. And it's just a free resource. I literally go through A through Z, commonly abused drugs, give a little background information on it and some free resource information for people. So you can check that out on academyofneuro.com. You can contact me on my website. I offer free consultations and you can find more about the certification program also on my website with new continuing education sponsorship opportunities as well for practicing and licensed professionals. So that is academyofneuro.com. And then specifically for the certification is /certifications. And you can reach me there. I'm all over social media. So LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I'm at Be Well with Dr. Haley. And that's Haley with two Y's, H-A-Y-L-E-Y. And then I'm also on Twitter. It's not very active, but I'm there. And that is at Dr. Haley Nelson. And of course, on Clubhouse, I pop in every once in a while and drop some neuroscience nuggets. So you can follow me over there at Dr. Haley N. Actually, no, that's also Be Well with Dr. Haley. I changed it. Either way, you'll find me. I'm all over the place. So check me out. I'm a real person. Feel free to DM me or shoot me an email. Message me on my website. I'm available.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Haley. I hope everybody checks out your webinar, your free webinar, and learns a little bit about the neuroscience of dealing with stress. And I have put that link in the comments. So hopefully that comes through for everyone. When you'll know when you get to Dr. Haley's website, this is what it looks like, the Academy of Cognitive and Behavioral Neuroscience. So go check it out and connect with her, learn about the work that she's doing in the world. Thank you so much for being here. I want to end today's show with my last drop, and I am taking last drop nuggets from my book, The UCR Advantage, How to Boost Your Emotional Intelligence Fast. And one of my key takeaways about change is this. Number one, we've got to be aware, right? Self-awareness is key. So self-awareness is having the ability to recognize and understand your emotions. It's often misunderstood. It's not about suppressing your emotions, but it is about recognizing them, because when you get in that state of resistance, you need to be aware of it, right? And without the awareness, you can't do anything about it. So that's my last drop for today. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. This has been another amazing, fantastic show. And for my guests and co-hosts, I am actually looking forward to debriefing with you all in just a few minutes. So stay tuned and we'll see you in the debrief. For everyone else out there, I am so appreciative of you spending a little bit of your Thursday with us. We look forward to seeing you back here next week. Same time, same place, same station. Until then, take care, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Thank you.